As a nurse, I primarily work with children who are abused and exploited in trafficking, and I frequently see very unfair situations. We must talk about the issue of abuse. We can't base our actions on fear. We have to be faith-informed in what we do.
The Dr. Nurse Mama Show. For more from Dr. Jessica Peck, tune in at 2 p.m. Central on American Family Radio or on the podcast page at afr.net. Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. It's an exciting morning in America. As America has gone to the polls, America has spoken, and Donald Trump will be the new president in January. President number 47. So he has the distinction of being number 45, and he will be number 47 as he defeated Kamala Harris in the election. Well, this is what David said in Psalm 34. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and rejoice. Oh, magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt his name together. I think that's a fitting scripture for today, as God has been so merciful to us. Charlie Kirk, who heads up Turning Point America and the Charlie Kirk Show, he has done so much to engage especially young people on campuses. He was on 24 college campuses this semester and challenging people to think through why they believe what they believe. Well, he made a huge difference, and he said, I'm humbled by God, when he saw the results come in, and he tweeted out this, God is not done with America. Now, I have my friend Tom Askell, Dr. Tom Askell from Cape Coral, Florida, on the line with us today to talk about this historic win. And so, Tom, tell me your thoughts this morning as we look at the numbers and just rejoice in how the Lord has responded to our prayers.
Well, Jeff, it's good to be with you again. And my first thought this morning when I woke up and looked is that, I was reminded that God is the one who sets authorities up and casts authorities down. You know, there's no authority except that that's been instituted by God, Paul says in Romans 13. So this is what God's done. And I believe that it's mercy that we have Donald Trump as our president-elect today rather than Kamala Harris. She is the most wicked and vile presidential candidate that we have had in our nation's history. And the people who say, oh, how can you say that? And, you know, Donald Trump isn't decent. He has mean tweets and such. Look at what Kamala Harris proposes for policies. Look what she's done when she's had any kind of authority. It is vile. It's wicked. And God spared us having that person as our commander-in-chief. So I see it as a mercy from God. But I'm also reminded, what Paul says in Romans 1, when he talks about judgment and all the wicked things people do and how societies get given over to just godlessness as normality. He says in chapter 2, he says, don't you know that the riches and kindness of God's forbearance and patience is meant to lead you to repentance? Mm-hmm. And so God has been forbearing with us. He's been patient. He's been kind. He's been merciful. That's designed by God to lead us to repentance. And so God's been merciful to our nation. Our nation needs to repent. And Jeff, you and I have talked about this before, but it starts with us. It starts with our churches, right. With God's people and pastors. We need to be calling upon our people to repent and repent ourselves and preach God's law, preach God's gospel, and say to our nation, there's a God in heaven. He's been incredibly merciful to you. He's patient. Don't cause his patience to be tempted any further. Turn and repent and come to Christ. That's the message that we need to be doubling down on right now.
Amen. I totally agree with that. I feel like I was looking on a thread with Manuel Acho, and he was just asking people, he's an ESPN color commentator, and he said, you know, how are you feeling today? And most of the comments I read through were positive. Some say, oh, I'm terrified, things are horrible, you know, the sky's falling. But one guy said, I feel like we are Nineveh. And if you know the story, obviously you do, Tom, but our listeners, Jonah went to Nineveh. He didn't want to go, but he went and he preached, and Nineveh responded, and God gave them more time. Now, they were eventually destroyed in 612 BC. But Jonah went there in 760. They were going to be destroyed in 40 days. And God gave them more time because they repented. And I feel like the Lord is not done with America. I was really wondering about that, Tom. And I thought if this election had gone in a different way, and not only Kamala Harris, but the Senate turned and the House, that we would say, perhaps God is done with America. He's not done with saving souls, but he may have been done with America as a nation. What do you think is the future for America given this historic victory?
Well, I think it does depend upon how we respond. I mean, you read in the Old Testament prophets how God showed kindness and mercy. He sent rain. He granted bumper crops. And, you know, like in Amos, he said, still you didn't repent. You know, when he sent disasters and hardship, still you didn't repent. And the call is repent. We must repent. And the nation needs to face up to the reality that there's a God in heaven, and that he is the God of nations, and he is the God of the United States, and we must look at him, look at his word, and honor his word, and turn from our sins, and look to him for mercy. He's shown us mercy. If we think, oh, look how big we are, look how great we are, you know, we're the best, and we did it, we defeated those other people, and we go about it in our pride, pride always goes before the fall, and the Lord knows how to humble the proud. And so my hope, my prayer is that the church will lead the way in saying, thank you, God, have mercy upon us. We have sinned, and we desire to repent. We desire to honor you as Lord of heaven and earth. And if that happens, America can be a bright city on a hill. And I'm not suggesting that, you know, America will become a church. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying America has done great good in this world throughout our history. Look at the missionary force that we have sent out over the course of our history. Look at the way, even after defeating Japan and Germany, what other conqueror goes in and rebuilds nations and restores enemies that you've defeated? All of that is indication of God's blessings and grace upon this land, and I believe it's possible for a great revival. And in fact, I'm praying for that. You know, I lead Founders Ministries. We're having a conference in January here in Southwest Florida on revival. It'll be 4 days or 3 days after the inauguration, and I am hoping and praying God will use that to spark revival here and in our churches and in my own heart and life. And that's what we need. And he can do it. He's done it before, and I'm praying he'll do it again.
Amen. Amen. Tom, let me get your take on this, because, you know, you were very outspoken. I was outspoken. Other pastors were Jack Hibbs and Jack Graham and Franklin Graham, other people like that. And then I saw on X pastors, conservative guys who love the Lord, they made a point of showing that I did a write-in vote. I wrote in for Dusty Devers. I wrote in for Ron DeSantis or whatever. They wanted Trump to win because they know that Kamala Harris would be a total disaster. And so, but they don't want to vote for him because he didn't meet their standard. To me, that seems kind of hypocritical, and that doesn't seem to help the cause. That seems to hurt the cause. How do you view that?
Yeah, you know, I'm sympathetic to those brothers, but I think they're naive. And by that, I don't mean to be disparaging of them, but I understand it because that's where I lived most of my life. I mean, again, pardon me for saying this promotionally, but we started the Institute of Public Theology 3 years ago because I became deeply convinced that most of our graduates from our seminaries, me included, we had never been taught to think rigorously from the scriptures to the political realities of the world we live in, especially here in the United States, where we have so many freedoms. And we could do that for most of my life. But the last 10 years, 15 years, we can't afford to do that. We've got to think about the lordship of Christ over politics. And so I think a lot of men just weren't trained. And if they use that standard consistently, they'll never vote for anyone except Jesus. Because who meets the standards? I mean, what are the standards and why? And how much sin is enough? Is too much sin? And how much is enough sin to tolerate? In political reality, you have to deal with where God's placed you here and now. You know, who would you rather have rule you, Nebuchadnezzar or Cyrus? I mean, Cyrus is the one that God raised up and called my anointed in order to do good for his people. Nebuchadnezzar was ruthless to his people, and you know, God raised him up too. But Cyrus, both of them pagan emperors, Cyrus was a far better man to live under if you are the people of God than Nebuchadnezzar was. And who do you want, Kamala or Donald Trump? I mean, that's the calculus. I heard one man say that he always votes based on this. He asks, who would the devil want to be elected? And then he votes for the opposite. I think if our brothers would reason like that they'd say, okay, Donald Trump's a flawed man. You know, I pray that he'll be converted. There's a lot of things that I don't like about him, and we could spend a long time criticizing him. But look at the alternative, and then look at what God has done in and through Donald Trump. Mm-hmm. He spared his life. Those 4 years, or 2 years at least, that he was in office before things fell off with the COVID nonsense, it was some of the best political years of my life, maybe the best, in what he was able to do. And it's not perfect, but we're not living in utopia. And so I just think it's a superficial political theology. You know, we put a political theology online at founders.org for that very reason. We put it on there online for free for folks. I think we had like nearly 300 people download it to go through that 10-week course, because we just wanted to help people start thinking from the Word of God to the world of politics in ways that most evangelicals have never been challenged or helped to think. And we got to make up for lost time on this. I'm talking about myself. You know, I will spend the rest of my life remediating, trying to make up for what I just didn't get to this point in my life.
Yes, for sure. Well, Tom, I saw something on X where it said this. I thought it was cleverly worded. God is definitely not a Republican, but Satan is definitely a Democrat. their policies, as John MacArthur said years ago, their policy, their platform comes straight out of the sins of Romans chapter 1. How anyone could support that. And you and I cringed over the Evangelicals for Harris. I saw where you had a tweet this morning about Evangelicals for Harris are lamenting this morning. It's such an oxymoron. How could a true evangelical support Kamala Harris?
Yeah, you know, I mean, I recognize that real Christians can go into real deep sin and have a whole lot of real ignorance. And so I'm not going to say, oh, these guys can't be Christians, but they certainly don't deserve to be leaders. And so men like David French and Russell Moore, Dwight McKissick, all of those guys that bang the drum for Kamala Harris, I hope Christians will see them for what they are and recognize that they don't deserve to be listened to or followed. At best, they are deceived and ignorant. You know, at worst, worst they could be exactly what we see in Scripture, where people who call Jesus Lord, Lord, but don't do what he says, and that happens too.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's just mind-boggling how those guys get on social media and just, you know, will argue for this cause. It's like, how do you support that person? How could you possibly support somebody who's pro-abortion, pro-mutilation of children, the open borders, all these things, you know, law and order's thrown out the window, and we support criminals, and we vilify the victims. It's just an upside-down Isaiah 5:20, woe to those who call evil good and good evil. In my mind, amen. That's how I see it. Well, Tom Askell is our guest today, and we are talking about the historic comeback victory for Donald J. Trump. on the cover of the New York Post was a big picture of Donald Trump, and it said, "He's done it again. Trump pulls off comeback for the ages with election win." And that is so true. We're up against a break. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here talking to Pastor Tom Askell, the pastor of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. And Tom, when we come back from the break, we want to talk about what happened in Florida, because there were two big amendments on the ballot and how those were defeated and righteousness won in Florida. Hats off to Ron DeSantis for being, I believe, the best governor, maybe the best governor we've ever had. We'll be right back.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Welcome back to the program. Pastor Jeff here talking to my good friend Dr. Tom Askell of Grace Baptist Church in Cape Coral, Florida. We're talking about the greatest comeback in political history, the re-election of Donald J. Trump as president number 47. He served as president number 45, and then Joe Biden 46, and now Donald Trump again as number 47. Tom, I want to play a clip from Scott Jennings last night on CNN. He's the lone conservative voice on CNN, and this is what he had to say. I want to play this clip. It's about 2 minutes long, and then have you interact with it.
He's won the national popular vote for a Republican for the first time since 2004. This is a big deal. This isn't backing into the office. This is a mandate to do what you said you were going to do. Get the economy working again for regular working class Americans. Fix immigration. Try to get crime under control. Try to reduce the chaos in the world. This is a mandate from the American people to do that. I think I'm interpreting the results tonight as the revenge of just the regular old working class American, the anonymous American who has been crushed, insulted, condescended to. They're not garbage. They're not Nazis. They're just regular people who get up and go to work every day and are trying to make a better life for their kids. And they feel like they have been told to just shut up when they have complained about the things that are hurting them in their own lives. I also feel like this election, as we sit here and pore over this tonight, is something of an indictment of the political information complex. I mean, we've been sitting around here for the last couple of weeks, and the story that was portrayed was not true. I mean, we were told Puerto Rico was going to change the election. Liz Cheney, Nikki Haley voters, women lying to their husbands. Before that, it was Tim Walz in the camo hats. Night after night after night, we were told all these things and gimmicks were going to somehow push Harris over the line. And we were just ignoring the fundamentals. Inflation, people feeling like that they were barely able to tread water at best. That was the fundamentals of the election. And so I think that both parties should always look at the results of an election and figure out what went right and what went wrong. But I think for all of us who cover elections and talk about elections and do this on a day-to-day basis, we have to figure out how to understand, talk to, and listen to the half of the country that rose up tonight and said, "We've had enough."
All right, Tom, what are your thoughts on what Scott Jennings had to say there?
I think he's spot on. I think that is a very, very insightful analysis, because most Americans just want to do their job and try to take care of business in their own little sphere. And just as he said, in doing that, we were told, no, you've got to accept transgenderism, you've got to use these pronouns, and not only that, now you've got to celebrate it, not only that, now you've got to pay for it. And the left just kept pushing and pushing and pushing godless ideologies and demanding that Americans accept, applaud, and finance their ideologies at the highest level. I mean, just look at the White House and what's happened at the White House, draped in LGBTQ pride flags and appointing men dressed as women to highest offices in the land, in our military, in our healthcare system. And people like me and you probably and others just said, "Hey, look, enough. We're not going to do this anymore. We're going to demand accounting for those who have been abusing us in this way. We're not going to let you do it anymore. And I agree. It's a mandate. And when you listen to what Donald Trump and those around him, which in my lifetime, maybe in the history of the United States, there's never been the kind of coalition that he has built. When you listen to what they say, what they're going to do about health care, what they're going to do about our food industry, what they're going to do about our government bureaucracy and bloating, I'm very hopeful. I mean, mm-hmm. I hope Elon Musk will come in and do away with the Education Department and with most of the stuff we don't need in our federal bureaucracy. And I'm hoping that Bobby Kennedy will come in and will begin to say, you know what, these products that we pay for that are manufactured in other countries, those countries not letting those products be sold to their own people, we're not going to let them be foisted on the American people anymore as well. Those are just common sense policies and helpful things that can be done that I hope Donald Trump will do, and I hope that he will get a handle on the economy and cut some of the red tape and silly policies that have just about destroyed us in the name of virtue signaling about the environment and world economics and such. It can be fixed, and I hope mm-hmm. that he and his team will jump in with both feet and do what they said they're going to do.
Well, the amount of waste, Tom, that takes place in the government for all these idiotic things, you know, climate change and all that, we got to do all this stuff. It's just ridiculous. And I'd love to see Elon Musk start going through and slashing things. So he cut 80% of the budget at Twitter X when he got it, or 80% of the people. He knows how to run things lean and lean and mean, so to speak. Well, yeah, that's going to be exciting. Obviously, there's a lot of work to do. You think about all the hurricanes you guys experience in Florida. You know, the aftermath of a hurricane, then there's the work begins. It doesn't end.
No, and it takes, you know, years, and this is not going to be a quick fix. And yet another thing Scott Jennings said I think is vitally important about this information loop, this doom loop that the you know, mainstream media kept saying, and it just wasn't true. I mean, praise God that on CNN they had somebody say, you know, what we've been doing here in our media is just simply false. We've been misleading those who follow us. I've said for years the mainstream media is dead. No thinking person should ever look to the mainstream media for information. With X and with social media outlets, and there's a variety of sources that you can get information from, there's absolutely no need to go to CNN, ABC, NBC, or CBS, or Fox, or any of them. You can just go to sources closer to where things are actually happening, and you can get less biased information than you can on mainstream media. So I hope the legacy media will just die, and people will quit pretending that they deliver to us accurate information.
Exactly right. You know, they have nobody to blame but themselves. They've shredded their own integrity. Elon Musk tweeted out, "You are the media now." And America owes a great debt of gratitude to him. He put everything on the line. If Harris had won, no doubt she was coming after him to shut him down and destroy him. And you know, I wish, Tom, that pastors in America had the courage that some of these guys that aren't even believers have to put their all on the line.
Yeah, I agree with you. And I think that is really the way to frame it, too, Jeff. I hate it. I was having a conversation yesterday with some folks, and they were saying, why are these pastors, you know, not saying it? Then why are they doing this? And I said, because they're cowards. Mm-hmm. And I hate that, but it's a fact. I think that's the most charitable construction that I can make on some of the ways these guys have conducted themselves. You know, and I understand there are others that are confused and they don't know, you know, what they should do, and I get that. Well, okay, go back to the Bible and start studying again and develop a good political theology, a good public theology, because we live in a day right now that pastors who are shepherding churches cannot afford to be devoid of that kind of rigorous biblical theological thinking. We owe it to our people, because our people are out there in these industries, in these jobs. They're facing the consequences of these horrific policies. And if we're not helping them think through that, and we're not willing to stand against unrighteousness that results on them just being taken advantage of and mistreated, then we're not doing our jobs as shepherds. So, yeah, I grant, okay, a lot of people like me, you know, we got to play catch-up. But if you're not willing to play catch-up, then go find another job.
Yeah, very good. A friend of mine, Tom, a very faithful church member, deacon in our church, they moved from Texarkana to Kentucky. And he told me, he said, we went to a church, large Southern Baptist church, and he said, we had high hopes, and the pastor got up and he had a t-shirt on, said, I'm voting for chips and salsa in 2024, and just kind of, you know, making light of the whole situation. It's like, hey, this is serious business. You need to stand up and do your job and not be a buffoon.
Right. I agree, and I haven't seen the studies, but I have heard reports that evangelicals sat out this election more than the last couple of elections. And if that's true, well, that's a further indictment of, again, just what I've been saying. We've got to develop a public theology. We've got to develop a political theology. And pastors have to take the lead. Our seminaries are not doing it. And so there's resources available. Again, you know, the Institute of Public Theology, we started for that reason. But you can get information now available on the Internet, and certainly there are books that have retrieved good Protestant political theology that have challenging our thinking, because our forefathers had to think through these things.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you and I have talked about this, but I've said it in various venues, that if modern American evangelicals, our leaders today, were given the opportunity and had to come up with a brand new nation, we could not come up with anything like the United States.
No.
Because we don't have the chops. We don't have the thinking to do it, and that's an indictment, because we're squandering what our forefathers handed down to us at great cost. And it's time for us to repent of that and say, okay, Lord, help us to go back to the scriptures and from your word, think about our world in right ways and lead our people to take the right kind of stands that honor Jesus Christ in this democratic republic.
Well, it's the dumbing down of everything, Tom, the dumbing down of the churches, the dumbing down of the nation. Yeah, we don't know things. I mean, the Democrats constantly talk about a threat to our democracy, threat to our democracy. It's like, hey, we're a constitutional republic. How do you not
know that?
Did you miss Civics 101? I don't know if you saw the thing somebody put on X about if you take out democracy and put in bureaucracy. Of all these liberals, a threat to our bureaucracy, a threat to our bureaucracy. That is a lot more accurate. If Trump gets elected, he is a threat to their bureaucracy, because he's going to cut through all that, the waste that
become
our federal
government. I thought that was hilarious. And you know what else I find ironic is, hey, didn't we just have a democratic election, and isn't this democracy at work to put Trump in office?
I mean,
you know, you're saying there's a threat to our democracy. Well, he won the popular vote. He won the electoral vote. Do you really believe in democracy or not? You know?
Right.
So they just expose themselves. They have an agenda, and if the agenda is not being pushed forward, then they'll make any kind of excuse in the world to try to explain it.
Well, I think Joe Biden, if he has a lucid moment, will think, good night, I could have done that.
Yeah.
You kicked me to the curb, and then you still lose. Okay, Tom, changing gears on you. Let's talk about Florida, because Florida had a big night for righteousness.
Yeah.
You had two amendments, one on abortion and one on marijuana. Let's talk about how that went last night.
Yes, well, praise God. These were proposed amendments to our Constitution. Florida requires 60% vote to change the Constitution, and both of those fell short, but they only fell short by a few percentage points. And so while I'm praising the Lord that despite $250 million spent mostly from outside our state to try to pass these two amendments, that they didn't reach that threshold, but I'm grieved that they reached more than 50%, one of them 57, the other 56 or 57. And it's a testimony to God's kindness to us, to a lot of grassroots efforts. We had people in our church that stormed all across the state to try to help people understand what the issues are and to stand against it. And then our governor, Governor DeSantis, he was tireless, especially for these last 3 or 4 weeks. He and his wife, Casey, and his staff, they were all over the state. We welcomed them here at Grace Baptist Church last Thursday, I think it was, and a couple of Thursdays ago, and he was very, very clear in his press conference, because these are demonic amendments. I mean, they're diabolical. By that, I mean they're written in such a way as to be intentionally deceitful. Governor DeSantis said they spent millions of dollars to figure out the exact wording that would be just within the borders of legality and deceitful, like the one on the marijuana amendment. Well, everybody says we don't want government encroachment. It was worded in a way to reduce government involvement and overreach into our private lives. Well, the way that the amendment was written, it would basically indemnify the major marijuana company that was pushing this so that they would be the only ones who could sell marijuana in the state. And no matter what happened from using it, from delivering it, from selling it, no matter what happened, they would be free of liability. It's horrific. No business in the world gets that, except the vaccine manufacturers back in 2020. And so Governor DeSantis pointed out, said, look, even if you want marijuana to be sold on the streets, you don't want this amendment because it eliminates any liability. Well, that's just deceitfulness. And the same thing with the abortion bill. And, we still have abortion up to 6 weeks in Florida, and that's not good. I want equal protection under the law. But this would have made abortion legal up to the moment of birth, and it would have paved the way for taxpayer money to have to pay for abortions. And so both of these wicked attempts to change our Constitution did not pass. I praise God for that. But I look at the statistics of the more than 50% of the people who voted for them, and it just says to me, we've got work to do. We've got to preach God's word to the citizens of Florida to help them to understand there's a God in heaven, and he created life, he created you, and he knows what's right and best for you, and you need to turn from your sin and trust the Lord Jesus and get right with your Creator. That's what we got to do. So churches in Florida have been given a reprieve. Our state's been given a reprieve, and we need to take full advantage of it.
Amen. Well, Dr. Tom Askell has been my guest today. Tom, thanks so much for coming on, and I agree with you fully. We have lots of work to do. The work is just now beginning, but it is a bright, shiny day, and the Lord has been gracious to us. So thanks for coming on, my friend. Well, that was Tom Askell. You're listening to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. And when we come back from the break, we're going to be taking your calls. 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. I'd love to hear from you and to hear what you're feeling this morning on a great day where God has answered so many prayers. We'll be right back. You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email PastorJeff@FromHisHeart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Pastor Jeff here, and we are talking about the greatest comeback in political history, the election of Donald Trump to serve another 4 years. He served from 2016 to 2020 or 2019, and then now he will be inaugurated in January of 2025. Well, Charlie Kirk has done so much with Turning Point America. He's done so much to engage the younger generation. He went on 24 college campuses just this semester. Charlie is extremely intelligent, extremely well-read, and a great debater for the truth, and he loves the Lord. This was his comment after it was declared Trump had won the victory.
Charlie Kirk has had his full voice and been speechless. And if anyone deserves to get tears in his eyes, it's Charlie. I think we all agree.
I think Erica has jumped his money into something in the break room.
No one has worked harder than Charlie.
We gotta hear some words here from you, Charlie. You put all this together, my man. Let's hear it.
I am just humbled by God. That's great. It's all God. It's all God. God alone. God alone.
That's all I can say.
Decision desk has it. Pennsylvania.
It's done.
It's done. It's beginning.
Brett, how are we doing at HQ?
He said, I'm humbled by God. It's all God. And I believe that. I think God has been merciful to us. And I do feel like we are Nineveh, and we were going to be destroyed, but people did cry out. And not only did we pray, we voted, and many took action to stop the steal. We knew that that was going to be a big issue, that they would try and steal the election and commit voter fraud. And it seems like that had been put on hold, because it was being watched and being called out. And so hats off to all those who did so much. Elon Musk, as we had mentioned, he did so much, put so much on the line, bought Twitter for $44 billion to preserve free speech. And he knew that that was going to, they were going to come against him hard if Kamala Harris had won. But she didn't, and God has given us a reprieve, and now we need to do something with it, as Tom Askell said. Well, we're taking your calls, 888-589-8840. I know that there are many in our listening audience who would love to get on the line today and to make a comment, and so let's go to Caleb in Arkansas. Caleb, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hey, how's it going?
Going well. How are you, Caleb? Uh-oh, we lost Caleb. All right, let's go to Peter in Texas. Peter, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Morning, Pastor. Good to talk with you. I've been listening to you for a long time. Appreciate everything you do and the comments you provide and the knowledge and wisdom that you give us listeners.
Thank
I wanted
you.
To make a couple of comments. One of them, particularly with the abortion law that actually did pass various states this election, my comment to this is the godly people who take a president in those states, that now that these states are requiring citizens to use their tax dollars to fund abortion, they really have to consider, are they going to maintain their residency in those states? Because if they live there, they're employed there, the money they earn, portions of that is going to be forced to pay for this abomination of killing our children in this nation. And are they going to continue to fund that, or are they going to speak to residents in other states that don't allow that? And that's one thing that they need to consider in this. And the other side of this, too, is when we have the abortion laws, we have exceptions up to 6 weeks or rape or those types of stipulations. Where's the conversation talking about the willingness of the rapists? What's the punishment for them? Is it going to be severe enough to where it basically says, hey, we're not going to go through this? And where's the crime placed upon them? Because it's not the child's fault, it's that rapist's fault that did it. And that's basically my comment to see what your thoughts are on these, because no one's really talking about the other side of this argument.
Yeah, well, you know, that was the issue that many were very disappointed in President Trump, and for some, they said, I can't vote for the guy because he's caved on abortion. One of my guests said, Rick Scarborough yesterday, Trump's a pragmatist and he doesn't have a strong conviction about certain things. Certain things he does and then other things he doesn't. He doesn't on abortion, sadly. Abortion is murder. And so when you treat abortion as that, that crime, that sin of murder. And so you go after the people that murder, and they need to pay the price for that. And, you know, if we hopefully get to that place in America where we just, abortion is just banned. It's just like we say, hey, murder is wrong, and it's a great evil, and if you commit murder, we're going to put you in prison or take your life. And so I think if we start educating people in that way, that's ultimately where it needs to go. It's not going to go there immediately, obviously. And as some have said, listen, you know, if you abandon Trump because you say, oh, he doesn't have my values on abortion, well, then you're going to get Kamala Harris, who definitely, she's anti-God, and she wants us to murder babies up through the ninth month. And then even as Governor Northam said in Virginia several years ago, hey, even after that, if the baby survives abortion, don't give the baby any care, just let the baby die because that's the will of the mother. That is so satanic and evil and barbaric, it's just mind-blowing. So I am with those that say, hey, we need to make changes, and this gives us an opportunity. You know, I'm not delusional when it comes to Donald Trump, but here's the positive thing about that guy. He likes Christians. He listens to Christians, and he likes to surround himself with godly people. And so that gives us such an opportunity to speak into his life and to tell him the truth about issues from a biblical perspective. And hopefully God will bring him to faith in Christ, as Nebuchadnezzar was brought to faith in Christ, and we'll see God do some great things. And so it's time for us to work and pray and call upon the Lord to take this political victory and use it as a spiritual victory in America. So God bless you, Peter. Thanks for calling in. We have Melinda on the line from Illinois. Melinda, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Good morning, Pastor Jeff. Praise God. Hallelujah. And thank you, Jesus. I just wanted to give God the glory and say that the remnant prayed, the remnant fasted, God heard, and he answered. This is only the beginning, so we've got to stay steadfast, and it is, hopefully, a wake-up call for the church. I'm saddened that the victory wasn't because all the Christians got out, those 34 million that wouldn't vote, but I'm still hopeful that in the future that Christians will wake up and that they'll get out and that they'll vote, and God's given the church another chance. So we've got to stand up, speak up, not be afraid, and profess the full gospel of Jesus Christ. And lastly, I'll say for Black Americans, I'm grateful, as a Black American myself, I'm grateful for the Black males who that percentage increase. Black women still need to wake up. I'm hopeful, but Black people, wake up. If you're a Christian, wake up. You cannot be for these things that go against the Bible and be voting race and gender. But that's all I got to say, Pastor. Yeah. I'm just happy today and giving God the glory.
Yeah, amen. Good word, Melinda. Yeah, we need to quit seeing, you know, that the movie Am I a Racist? I think everybody needs to see that. I loved it. But it just exposes the lies embedded in all that stuff and how it's the liberals that want to get people to hate each other and to see each other just by race. We need to see each other as people. I think Martin Luther King's dream is so valid, that my four little children will be judged not by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character. And may we return to that in America. So thank you, Melinda. Appreciate your comments there. We have Jerry on the line from Texas. Jerry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Well, thank you, brother. I'm going to jump into the comments real quick. Two quick comments. I told my wife last night, as we're getting ready to go to bed, she goes, you know, you seem unreasonably calm for the way that I follow politics and God's word and this and that. And I said, well, I'm going to be honest with you. I have truly prayed and casted my cares upon Christ, and understand one of two things. If Trump becomes president, then those Christians that are faithful in prayer for this nation, God has listened and God has turned and given us the opportunity to help influence those that aren't more to try and cause a revival. So So there's work still to be done as Christians. And if Trump doesn't win, then truly we as a nation deserve the judgment God is putting upon us. And then the second comment is that this morning, while my 15-year-old was driving us to his school, my other two of the four siblings, I told him, as Christians, at their age, they need to start learning to be engaged, because we are the light of this world. And just because Trump is now in office doesn't mean that we aren't civically responsible and have a duty as Christians to still call our representatives and influence them to understand what the Bible commands us to do. The work is not done. It is still needing to be done. And those are my comments, brother. I'll let you go and comment, but keep telling the truth. God is always good, and he is still on the throne.
Amen. Good. That's a good word, Jerry. Yeah, it's, you know, as far as casting that care on the Lord and trusting him, that's exactly how we were supposed to respond to that. I was battling yesterday afternoon, and just I was in my prayer. I said, Lord, I don't believe that you spared Trump's life to then have him go down in flames and lose in this election. There's so much at stake. Free speech, one of the big things that was at stake, because Harris had made it clear that she was going to go after misinformation and hate speech. Hate speech is defined as speech that they hate. Those on the left and those in power, they don't like speech that comes from Scripture. You know, Jesus said concerning the world, he said to his brothers, the world cannot hate you, but it hates me because I testify against it that its deeds are evil. And this is the message, that light has come into the world, and men love the darkness rather than the light, for their deeds are evil. And so as we, as pastors and Christians, as we speak the truth in love, for those that don't want to hear it, truth is hate to those who hate the truth. They will call that hate speech. You're a hater. How dare you say that homosexuality is a sin? How dare you call us out in this? We would be some of the first to be on the chopping block, so to speak, the cancel block, because we dare preach the whole counsel of God. And we call people out for their sin. Why do we do that? It's not to be mean and cruel. It's to call them to salvation. We call them, you have to deal with your sin. You can't get right with God unless you come clean with your sin. And so that's what we do as believers. We call people out. Hey, turn from sin, turn to the Savior. But in order to turn from sin, you have to acknowledge that what you're doing is sinful. You have to acknowledge that you have wickedly departed from God, and you have to come to your senses, as the prodigal son did, and get up and leave the pigsty and come and be reconciled to your father. So I appreciate that. We have Seth on the line from Kentucky. Seth, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Hello, Pastor Jeff. I just want to start by saying thank you for taking my call, and I just enjoy listening to your show every morning, and
thank you.
I just also enjoy listening to your preaching, too, on other sources. And thank you for what you do. And
thanks, brother.
I just wanted to praise the Lord on the air for hearing the Christians' prayers, that we just wanted this nation to have a chance to turn around. And I know it's just one step one right now, but at least it's step one in the right direction. That's really all I had to say.
Yeah, that's a good word. I think it is. It's step one. And it's God being merciful to us, and blessing the efforts of so many. And as we cried out to him for mercy and to give us one more chance, it's God saying, hey, I'm not done with America. As Charlie Kirk tweeted out, that's exactly what I was thinking. This shows that God is not done with America. And God wants to use this to bring about a great revival. God wants to use this so that people would come to Christ. So we have Mark on the line from Texas. Mark, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, sir. I just want to reiterate the thank you for what you do, and enjoy all your sermons that we listen to on other sources, one place, and everything. And I understand that the guy that spoke earlier, one of the guys that said that all those other sources work, cowards, and I think they're lazy and greedy because they didn't want Trump to win. I'm thankful that God can use Trump like he did Moses and Noah and Joshua and Jonah to do anything, Abraham, to do anything God has for his master plan. And thank you, Jeff, for everything you do. And
thanks, brother. I appreciate that. We are out of time, but thanks for listening to Real Truth for today. And we praise the Lord. We praise the Lord in the sunshine. We praise him in the rain. He is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, but he did give us a great victory, a victory for righteousness, and we thank him for it. Now let's use it to bring men and women, boys and girls, to faith in Jesus. I'll be with you again tomorrow. Shine and share. God bless.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.